Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, you still there, Donna?
I'm here.
All right. So this is John Shum with The Grateful Web, and I have the lovely Donna Jean Godshaw here with me today. Thank you for joining me, first of all, and how are you, and what's new?
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure to be with you, and I'm doing really well, just looking forward to this CD release that is one of the best things that I've ever done, so I'm really excited about it.
Wonderful. Yeah, I've been kind of looking at some of the stuff about it. I see it's coming out on February 18th.
Right.
And I definitely have a few questions about that. But before we get going on that, you mentioned a minute ago we were talking about your son, Zion, who's out on the road with his band, Boombox.
Right.
And how does it feel knowing that you raised a musician who's kind of following the offbeat, anti-corporate path of a band sort of like the Grateful Dead as far as the approach to the industry? How does it feel having this a family of musicians?
Well, first of all, Zion, from the minute he came out of the womb playing the drums, you know, how could he avoid it? You know, I was pregnant with him and on the road with the Grateful Dead for 8.5 months out of my pregnancy. And so all of that music, that loud Grateful Dead music was going through him, you know, in gestation. So, you know, if he had turned out to be anything else, it would have been a miracle. So he has always been musical all of his life and you know, to my pleasure. I'm sure that were Keith alive today, he would be so proud of Zion, as am I. And couldn't be prouder of my son. He has taken a route, like you said, it was non-corporate. You know, it's the same kind of energy that the Grateful Dead had, you know, in, you know, doing what was life's blood to them, Zion is doing as well, kind of in the same vein. It's different music in that, you know, it's not like a full band on stage, but yet they do music that is like the Grateful Dead in that the music is different every time they play it. Nothing is the same from one night to the next, you know, yet there's the template for the song. And I'm just proud of him, the way that he has organized his musical life. It's really, really great.
Yeah, I actually had a chance to speak with him the other day before he was doing soundcheck in Columbia, Missouri. And I'd like to read you a little snippet where he spoke about you, if that's all right.
Okay.
So here is the quote from Zion. He said, I was asking him about your influence on his musical career and just, you know, in general and in life. And he said, I mean, my mom, she's got soul. She is soul. It pours out of her. As a baby, her singing voice, it always kept soul really close to me. And that's the end of that quote.
Wow.
It's so nice being able to talk to your son and then you within a close period of time. But kind of going on his quote, where did the soul that he speaks of that seems to radiate from you, where did this soul develop and how did you learn to harness it?
Well, you know, you can speak about soul on a couple of different levels if you're talking about music or you're talking about, you know, just a person in general. And I grew up in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, which, you know, has put forth so much soul in music. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Have you heard about the movie Muscle Shoals?
I have. I just I read a little bit about it. I have not seen the movie yet, but I am familiar. I think the first time I really heard about it was watching a Rolling Stones documentary when they were down there.
Well, you need to see that movie. And, you know, I say, unless you hate music, you're going to love that movie. It really chronicles beautifully on every level, you know, the soul music that came out of this area, in the Muscle Shoals area. You know, we have When a Man Loves a Woman. You have Paul Simon. I mean, you have so many, and Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, everybody in the world recorded here. And not to mention Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett and, you know, so many people. And when you see the movie, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But there was so much soul that came out of this area musically that really translates into a lifelong experience for me. And I'm sure, you know, the musicians who were born here and made a career, you know, in the music industry. So, you know, I guess I would say musically my roots started here in Muscle Shoals. And, you know, I was singing on a lot of these records, you know, with a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I learned and did here musically translated to when I went to San Francisco, you know, and incorporated into the Grateful Dead. And so I call myself a genuine half-breed. You know, I've got the Muscle Shoals side of me and the San Francisco side of me. And I guess that translates into soul, you know, however you want to spin that thing. You know, Zion loves me and I love him. You know, we are so tight, so close. And I think everything that I have done in my life has spilled over to him. And he utilizes all of the input that has been around him beautifully in his music.
It's good to see. I know every time I've seen one of his shows, it's been a totally different experience than most of the times or most of the concerts that you go see, you know, day to day, week to week. And it does, it really feels like he has a background, you know, whether it's from you, Muscle Shoals, that really, it just does. It seems special and different and outside the box compared to everything else. So kind of following on that path, how you mentioned you carried that soul with you to San Francisco, what led you out west? What made you leave Muscle Shoals after, you know, recording with all of these artists and doing vocals with some of the more popular artists that came through?
Well, I had always wanted to go to California. That was a dream of mine that I had, you know, pretty much from when I understood, you know, what geography and location and vibe and everything was. I wanted to go to California. And it was a huge decision because I was in the middle of, right here in my hometown, of a really good career. You know, I was right in the middle of something big as mm-hmm. far as, you know, singing and having a job and doing what I love to do, which is sing. And it was a huge decision to go out there. And I just knew that I had to. You know, it's just, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but you knew that you had to do something and there was nothing else that you could do but do it. And mm-hmm. so I had to tell Jerry Wexler, who is the president of Atlantic Records, that I was leaving the Voice Group and going to California. which was huge. I was in
You
know, I was having a real career at a very, very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to go. I just knew that I had to go. And it wasn't to do anything really musical there that I had, like, you know, well, I'm going from Muscle Shoals to this singing environment. I had no singing environment there. And yet, very soon after I went to California, it's when I saw the Grateful Dead, and I told someone who was sitting next to me at a concert, when I sing again, it's going to be with this band. And lo and behold.
There, it's almost like fate brought you out to the West Coast.
Yeah, the rest, you know, is history. And so now I'm back in Muscle Shoals, and you know, which will lead probably to one of your questions about the new CD.
Yeah, actually, you mentioned a moment ago kind of about how you said you were a genuine half-breed as far as Muscle Shoals goes and San Francisco. The new album, which is called Back Around, our press release describes it as a blend of Muscle Shoals groove with a psychedelic San Francisco vibe. Do you agree with the description of that, kind of going off how both of those places are, you know, somewhat home to you?
Absolutely. That describes it perfectly. We have, you know, that Muscle Shoals groove in many of the songs, and then again we have extended jams in, you know, other songs, which definitely bring those two musical situations together. And I think we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. And it is Back Around for me. You know, being brought up in Muscle Shoals and the, you know, the musical identity I have here, and as well, you know, San Francisco, the jam band, Grateful Dead-ish type, you know, extended musical experience, and then back to Muscle Shoals. So it is Back Around. And it has been so much fun to do that, believe me.
I was kind of looking at a list of the names that are on the album, and of course, Jeff Mattson, who you've worked with for a good amount of time, I believe.
Right.
And he's currently been, or I guess the last couple of years, he's been touring with Dark Star Orchestra.
Right.
So, is he featured on the entire album?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeff is all over the place on this album. Jeff loves music, and so he is inclined to get his head into anything that is before him, you know, musically. And so he fit really well into the Muscle Shoals groove as well as, you know, the jam band, music expression. And he's all over it. He's on every song. He is my partner in not crime. Jeff is my partner in not crime.
So do you write the songs together? Do you and Jeff write them? Or most of the songs, are they all original compositions?
I think it's about half and half as far as the originals you know, what we covered. Yes, Jeff and I are writing partners as well, and I guess about half the songs we wrote together.
Cool. And there's also what looks to be a who's who of Muscle Shoals musicians on the album, including Muscle Shoals horns and... I wasn't familiar with some of the other names, but a quick Google search brings up a good history of music with all of them, it looks like.
Yeah, Will McFarlane, who played complimentary guitar, that's the way I would describe it, played with Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, wow.
In the 70s. So he was her guitar player around the 1970s. And so he's a local Muscle Shoals musician who plays on, most of the recordings that come out of Muscle Shoals these days as a session guitar player. He's mm-hmm. great. So I have a good bucket to pull from, believe me, in this area.
Yeah, I remember one of the questions I asked Zion was if he had been a part of the album at all, the album you're putting together, Back Around. And he said that he was basically just there as moral support, and that you had such a good crew on the album going with the players and the recording that it was just bound to be a knockout and that he didn't need to be there for anything. So he really built it up, and it sounds like it's really all come together.
Well, Zion has a son, Delta, and we, between all of us who are family around here, Delta is kind of the center of our universe. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, when he's on the road, sometimes we're taking care of Delta. And and Delta himself is already a musician. He has a full blown drum set.
Wow.
He has a keyboard. He is a great singer already.
Wow.
He's got perfect pitch. I can sing a song for him when he's here 1 week, and the next week he comes back and he can sing it in the exact same key.
That's adorable.
He's an amazing little kid, and he is obviously, got the trickle down from from so many generations of God shows.
Oh, that's wonderful. How old is he?
He's 5.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's great. I'm glad to see that the musical tradition in the family is continuing.
Oh, my goodness. He is, like my husband David McKay said one day when he was over here, he was, like, dancing and singing at the same time, and he said, when I dance, I'd love to sing at the same time, and he was just going off, and he was so good at it. And this is when he was 4. And David looked at me and he said, one of these days we'll all be working for him. finish answering your question, yes, when Zion said he was there to support, absolutely. We support one another 100% on every level. It's just beautiful. We have a beautiful family expression here.
So good to hear. You mentioned your husband, David, and he's in the band and on the CD as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and let's see. As far as beyond the album goes, are there plans to take the band out on the road and to tour at all?
Well, we'll see about that. Jeff is on the road so much with Dark Star Orchestra, it's a little bit difficult to book between times. And so I think what we're thinking more, instead of like doing long, big tours, is doing specialized shows, in kind of precise locations and kind of picking and choosing what we do, because of Jeff's involvement in Dark Star Orchestra, for him to come home after a 3-week tour with Dark Star Orchestra and then go on another tour right away is just you know, that's not...
Yeah, it can really wear down on you.
It really wears down, and he needs some home time with his wife and his family and everything. And so we're not planning on, quote, touring, but we're planning on doing shows that really make sense for what we're, for what we're doing right now.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about those and hopefully seeing you down the line at a show. Kind of straying away, that's kind of wrapping up the questions I have about the new album. But being Grateful Web, I feel obligated to ask one or two questions about your time with the Grateful Dead, if that's all right.
Of course you are.
So you were a member of the Dead for what many consider to be some of their best years as far as growth, the sound, new songs, material, etc. Looking back on that whirlwind adventure it must have been, how do you like to, how do you remember and how do you like to reminisce on your time, with the Dead?
Well, the reminiscing, I would have to say, is part of me. You know, having been with the band, like you said, at that time with all of those classic Grateful Dead songs, was a thrill and a privilege that I have that I wouldn't take for anything. The Grateful Dead will always be a major part of my life, and Garcia was, gosh, I don't even know how to get deep enough or talk deep enough about, you know, what he meant and the influence he had on my life and taught me and steered me into places that I would have never known had I not known this man and this band. Took me out of a place, talking musically in Muscle Shoals, it was very... very orchestrated and arranged. Everybody knew what they were going to do, every bar of every song. And then to go from there, you know, into Grateful Deadism, and it is just all over the place. It's out of every box that you could imagine. And it changed my musical life, and it changed my life, period. And I wouldn't take anything for that experience. It's just, it's so part of me, I can't even hardly talk about it. It's mm-hmm. so deep. I'm one of the most fortunate people in the world to have been in that band. And it's in me, always. It's never going to go away.
Of course. Yeah. And you also played with Jerry in the Jerry Garcia band, you and Keith, correct?
Right.
How did the experience differ between playing shows with the Grateful Dead and the Jerry Garcia band?
Well,
I guess the music choice or song choice immediately, I guess, can stand out. To me, at least.
The song choice was different. Jerry got to express himself musically in a different way than in the Grateful Dead. And it was a much smaller scene in that, you know, going from stadiums into, like, those nice, choice little theaters, you know, having a more up close and personal relationship with the audience was very different and pleasant. You know, it's hard to really connect when you're talking about 50, 60,000 people who are way far away from you rather than an upfront crowd, you know, in a theater or a small, you know, a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
And and make music. It's just, it's a whole different expression. And I think Jerry loved that as much as he loved the Grateful Dead. He loved the Jerry Garcia Band. And because of that, because it was up, more up close and personal. And of course, John Conn, you know, was a soulmate of Garcia's, and it just was fun. It was just fun and no pressure. There was a lack of pressure that was there with the Garcia Band. And like you said, the song choice was way different. And it was something that Jerry really put his heart and soul into. And I was equally honored to be a part of that as well as the Grateful Dead.
Wonderful. And well, really, the last question I kind of have, I'm just thinking about all of the songs that came to be during that period, whether it was Jerry Garcia Band or Grateful Dead. Were there any of the albums that you were a part of during that era that you really look back on and feel the strongest about, you know, either Jerry Band or Dead? Or even Keith and Donna, the album that you and your husband at the time put out, I believe, in 1975.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to, you know, that's a tough question, because on all of the albums that I did with the Grateful Dead, there are songs that from each of them that have become Grateful Dead classics.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, walking into Front Street, which was the Grateful Dead rehearsal studio as well as the recording studio, and Garcia saying, you know, I have a new song and it's called Scarlet Begonias. I mean, goodness gracious, you know. And
I can only imagine.
You know, what a, and this is something that I say regularly these days, is you never know when you're making history. And so walking into the studio and Garcia pulling out these songs, or we're pulling out, you know, all of his songs, music never stopped, you know, classics.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And hearing those songs for the first time, you know, I was like a fly on the wall, basically, you know, getting to be a part of these iconic song images being just blurted out, you know, in one fell swoop. You have Scarlet Begonias. You have, I mean, I could name all of the songs.
Right.
And they were on all of the records. And so I can't point to one record. Mississippi Half Step, you know, or, you know, they're just
so
iconic.
Many.
So
yeah,
many.
Really,
I can't point to one album.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. That's so interesting, what you were saying about how you never know when you're making history. It's a really good thought to kind of let me enter in my head there for a while.
really true.
It is. I mean, it really is. And, you know, hopefully I'm looking forward, you know, to getting my hands on your new album. And, you know, hopefully you'll be making a little bit of history there, too.
Well, we shall see, won't we?
We shall. So, yeah, just going back to that, so the Donna Jean Godshaw Band with Jeff Mattson, the newest album called Back Around, and that's coming out on February 18th. Was there anything else that you'd like to mention or before we wrap up?
Well, I guess the only thing to say in regard to the new album is the release date is February 18th. On March 11th, we're having a CD release party here in Muscle Shoals, and all the guys are coming down from New York, Pennsylvania. for the party, and then we're doing a full-blown concert. Instead of playing the CD, we're going to do a concert. And so all of the people who played on the CD are going to be there. And so we're having the Muscle Shoals horns, some girls that I used in the background vocals, Will McFarlane. You have the CD. You can see all the names there. But everybody who played on the CD pretty much is going to be playing this concert in Sheffield, Alabama, which is part of Muscle Shoals, at the Ritz Theater. And we're going to be filming it. And,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we have three cameras going. And so you'll be able to see it eventually and hear
oh,
it.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're really
yeah,
looking
I'm
gonna
forward,
look forward
to that.
That's going to be a real thrill and a joy to have all the people who played on the record. I still call them records.
Yeah, I know. I have the tendency to do the same thing.
We'll be there for this concert, so we're really excited about it.
Well, wonderful. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that. But thank you so much, Donna, for taking the time to talk to me today, and to all the fans of the Grateful Web and Donna Jean Band. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, me too, and thank you for having me. And go see that movie, or it'll be that movie. Muscle Shoals will be out mid-February, I think.
I will. I was just with Mark Caron from Rat Dog the other day. I was talking with him, and he actually mentioned that to me and told me how I needed to go watch that.
You will love it. And I love Mark Caron.
He's great. Played. Yeah, he's in Denver tonight doing a couple of shows with Melvin Seals and Terrapin Flyer. So we just did an interview the other day, and I'm going to go and catch his show tonight.
Well, please tell him hello for me, and I'm giving him a big hug. I love him. He played with our band, we did a few gigs while Jeff was on the road with Mark.
Right.
In the
yeah, that's right.
Show.
I read about those. I looked into
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. So please give him a big I love him hug.
I will. I definitely will. Well, thank you so much, Donna.
Well, thank you. And have a good time tonight. And maybe I'll meet you one of these days, face-to-face.
I hope so, yeah. I'm looking forward to it already.
Okay. Well, you take care.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.